Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. For each one that's here, thank you for what we've experienced so far in this service, the singing and the testimonies. And now as we come to this part of the service where we open your word and hear it preached, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would use my tongue, my lips, that you would speak through me, that you would help me to say the very things that you want said tonight, and then you would drive them into our hearts and our minds. Help us to wait for the next promise you've made, like Simeon waited for the promise you made to him. I pray if there's somebody here that needs to get saved tonight, that they will. I pray for the Christian here tonight that just needs something special from you. We look to you, Father, and ask you to work. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Waiting for something sometimes is very hard. Seems like the younger we are, the harder it is to wait. Although, even when we get old, sometimes it is. It's even harder to wait. I've been on trips with my children. We were going to drive 1,000 miles. We got 5 miles away from home, and they would ask the question, "Are we there yet?" You try to prepare them, you know, that we're going to be driving for hours and hours and hours, and they're impatient. They have a hard time waiting. Same thing is true about Christmas. Sometimes they just, you know, they see all the presents underneath the trees, and they don't understand why they have to wait. I think I've told you before, my mother was like that. She enjoys Christmas, and when she could get out and shop, she'd go out and buy everybody a present, but she couldn't wait for Christmas. She'd have us open them 2 or 3 weeks before the holiday even got there. And I did the same thing to her this year. I bought her something, and I couldn't wait till Christmas, so I gave it to her 3 weeks ago. I'm going to wrap up the empty box so she can open it on Christmas, but she knows what she's getting. In our scripture reading tonight, and most of us have heard this story before, there was a man that was waiting for Christmas. Not Christmas Day as we know it, but the first Christmas where the Lord was going to send the Messiah, the one promised to Israel. And I think it goes to show in the story that the children told us this morning, the story of this man, Simeon, the story of a lady named Anna, who's also in the same chapter, that God always have people ready to serve him. That even when the world is going to hell, even when the world has nothing that they want to do with God, that God has people like we read about in the Christmas story, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, Anna. God has them in the wings, ready to follow his will, ready to be obedient to what he asked them to do. Many people in Simeon's day missed the announcement and what it meant. The Jews, even today, they're still looking forward to the Messiah coming. They don't realize that he came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here was a man that had been waiting a long, long time, that was made a promise to by God, where God said, "Simeon, you're not going to die. You're not going to leave this earth until you see me fulfill my promise." And this scripture tells us some things about how Simeon waited for that promise to be fulfilled. Some things I want to point out to you tonight that we can use in our life as we wait for the promise that God made us in John chapter 14, as we wait for that promise to be fulfilled. He said in that chapter, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." This was Jesus talking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, you can turn to the last chapter of John, and you can read about the ascension when Jesus went up to heaven. The disciples were standing there looking up, and two angels came and said, "Why are you looking? This same Jesus that has gone away is going to come back, just like he promised you he would." The disciples thought before they died that Jesus would come back. They didn't know how long it was going to be. I don't know how long it's going to be. I think he could come at any time, but I don't know how much longer he's going to wait. I know he's being patient. I know he's giving people an opportunity to get saved before he comes back. But we have a promise that we're waiting for God to fulfill. We have a promise that he made to each of us that we're waiting for God to keep. And sometimes we get anxious. Sometimes it's hard for us to wait. Sometimes we say, like the Apostle John said in the book of Revelation, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." But again, as Simon waited for the birth of the Messiah, Simeon waited for the birth of the Messiah, as Simeon waited for God to keep that promise, he waited with some things that we need to put into our life and wait for the promise of God, the promise that he made to us, that he's coming back to get his own. And I believe that's the next thing that's going to happen. We call it the rapture, even though the word's not in the Bible. The trumpet's going to sound. We're going to hear that loud voice from heaven that says, "Come up hither." The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive are going to join them, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the promise we're waiting for. Simeon waited with some things for God to keep the promise to him. We need to wait with those same things as we wait for God to keep his promise to us. I want to mention three of them tonight. Again, I know what time it is. I am very respectful of your time, and I will be quick tonight, I promise you. But first of all, I would point out to you that Simeon waited for the promise, for God to keep his promise to him. He waited with character. Character. Character is what you are when nobody is around. Character is what you are that nobody can see. Character includes a couple things I want to mention tonight. First of all, it includes integrity. It includes doing what's right when nobody can see you doing what's right. It includes doing what's right when nobody knows what you're doing. It includes thinking right. Nobody knows what you think but God. No man knows what you think. But integrity says, I'm going to think the way God wants me to think, even though nobody else knows what I'm thinking. Simeon had integrity. In verse 25, we read, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout." Those two words mean holy. They mean right. They mean circumspect. They mean doing what's right in every situation. Carefully listening to God, carefully listening to God's will for his life, paying attention to it, and being obedient to that will. You know, I think most Christians are not disobedient. They're just careless in their listening. Most Christians are careless when they read their Bible. Most Christians are careless when they listen to a Sunday school lesson. Most Christians are careless when they listen to a sermon. Because when we read this book, and when we come and hear a Sunday school lesson, and when we come and hear a sermon, it doesn't matter who the teacher are. The teacher's not important. It doesn't matter who the preacher is. The preacher's not important. When we come to this place, we need to expect to hear from God himself. We need to expect to hear from the Holy Spirit himself. And we need to listen with our hearts, with our ears, with our minds, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us. The problem is, we don't listen. We don't listen. Because if we listen, every time we come under the teaching or the preaching of this book, every time we open this book and read it for ourselves, God will speak to us. He'll reveal more of His will. And if we listen, we can discern that will and then be obedient to it. That's what integrity is. Simeon kept himself in a position to listen to God. He did it. It was part of his character. Another part of his character was his intensity. He truly believed. He believed with all his heart. He believed with all his being that God was going to keep his promise, and he was waiting for that consolation of Israel that God had promised him. He was intense in his expectation. He was expecting God to send the Messiah. Now again, the Jews were looking for a Messiah that was going to come and sit on the throne of David. A Messiah that was going to come and rule the earth. That'll happen one day. One day Jesus will come. It won't be the next time he comes. But one day he will come back and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Simeon was expecting that. That's what the Messiah was. And he believed that God was going to do it. Listen, we need to wait for the promise that God made us, that he's coming back, not only with integrity, but with the intensity that God will still work every day of our life as we wait on him. You know, we live our life. And we don't expect God to do anything. We don't have the expectation that he will work. I want to tell you something. God works every day in a Christian's life. He works every day in your life. He works every day in my life. He has something that he wants to accomplish. We need to get up every morning and say, God, what are you going to do today? I'm expecting you're going to do something today. I'm praising you already before you do it because you're going to do something today. I can't wait to see what you're going to do today. And again, I got to be quick, so I got to go on. I have some more things I want to say, but I can't. He lived with character. He lived with integrity. He lived with intensity. And then he lived with inspiration. Inspiration. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Jesus hadn't sent the Holy Spirit because he hadn't gone back to heaven yet. I mean, it hadn't come on the disciples yet. They hadn't gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem. They hadn't been baptized with those tongues of fire. The day of Pentecost hadn't happened yet. It was still a couple weeks away. I figure when Simeon was in the temple, the little baby's about 33 years old when they came in and did everything. And I don't know if I'm getting my dates right, so I shouldn't say things I haven't put down in my notes. But the day of Pentecost hadn't happened yet. Holy Spirit hadn't been sent yet, but the Holy Spirit was on this man. The Holy Spirit was on this man named Simeon. He was led into the temple that very day that Mary and Joseph were going to bring the little baby, Jesus, into the temple to do unto him as the law prescribed. The Holy Spirit said, Simeon, you need to make sure you're in the temple today. And Simeon was obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading. And we need to live our life under that same inspiration because every day the Holy Spirit will take us where he wants us to go. Every day the Holy Spirit will put people in our path that need to hear about Jesus Christ. Every day the Holy Spirit will put people in our life that need to be encouraged, that need to be loved, that need just some times to be hugged and said, look, God is good. And God knows what's going on in your life. And so he lived with character. He waited with character. We need to wait with that same kind of character. We need to wait with integrity. We need to wait with intensity. We need to wait with inspiration. Number two, you say you've already had 3 points. No, that was all 1 point. Number two, he waited in the comfort that only Jesus Christ could give. He waited in the comfort that only God could give. That comfort came, first of all, from him looking forward to the Savior coming. Looking forward to God fulfilling the promise to send the Messiah. When he came into the temple that day, the Bible says that he took him up in his arms. He got to hold the little baby Jesus. He got to hold the Christ child. He got to hold Emmanuel. And again, listen, I don't think there was anything about Mary and Joseph and the little baby Jesus that made them stood out from the other parents that had their little ones in the temple that day. I don't think, that they had a star that was over their head. I don't think there was anything that God did that, to point them out that they were that what they were doing was to a special little baby. But the Holy Spirit told Simeon, hey, this is who I promised you. This is who you've been waiting for. And he took that little baby up in his arms. And the Holy Spirit made his life intersect with the Christ, and so that he could say, okay, I'm ready to die now, God. You kept your promise to me. I've seen the consolation that you've sent to the earth. I've seen the one that you've promised. I've seen the Messiah. I'm ready to go. We can wait with the comfort, knowing that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, because one day the Holy Spirit made our life intersect with his. One day the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin. One day the Holy Spirit gave us a clear picture of what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. And one day the Holy Spirit broke away every barrier and every excuse, and we came running to the Savior. We confessed our sin and asked Jesus to save us. We can wait with the comfort of knowing that we're part of God's family. We can wait with the comfort that we belong to him. And we can wait with that comfort because we can be satisfied with Jesus Christ. I don't need anything else. As long as I have Jesus Christ, I don't need what the world says I got to have to be happy. I don't need what the world says that I need to survive. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. I don't, and again, I got to keep going. And then he waited with comfort because he was certain of God's word. I don't know how old this man was. I think he was an older man. I think he could have been in his 70s or his 80s. We don't know. But he knew that God was going to keep his promise. He knew that he was going to see the Messiah before he died. Did you know the coming of Christ fulfilled at least, and probably there's more than these, but fulfilled at least 73 promises that God made concerning his birth? 73 different promises in the Old Testament. 73. As we wait for the promise that he's made to us, I'm coming again. There's hundreds of promises in this book that I can claim. Amen. And we need to wait in the comfort of the certainty that this book is true. Amen. And every promise is true. So he waited with character. He waited with comfort. And then number three, and lastly, he waited with concern. Concern. You see, he was waiting for the Savior. Not just his, but the Savior of the world. He says, Lord, let me depart now, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. I believe this was a Jew. Simeon was a Jew. And yet he says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Here was somebody that says, hey, Jesus is not just going to be a Savior to his chosen people. He's not going to be a Savior just to the Jews. He's going to be a Savior to everybody. Everybody. In the glory of thy people, Israel. A Jew. And yet he understood that the salvation that Jesus Christ was going to offer was going to be to everybody. Everybody. We're waiting. There are some days I say, like the Apostle John, I wish you'd come today, Lord Jesus. I wish you'd come today. He's coming. He's coming. We're waiting. And as we wait, let's do it with character. Let's do it with comfort. Let's do it with concern. The whole world needs to hear that he's coming back. They need to get ready. And the only way they can get ready is to receive him as their Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise, the promises that you've made to mankind all throughout history. Thank you for being a God that keeps every one of them. We know you're going to keep that one you made to us, that one day you're going to come back and get us so that where you are, there we may be also. And Father, we look forward to that day when the trumpet will sound and we'll hear that shout and we'll rise in the air to meet you in the air and be with you forever and ever and ever. While we wait, help us to wait right. Help us to learn from Simeon's life. I ask you to bless this invitation. I don't know if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, but Father, I pray if there's even just one, that they won't leave this place tonight without making sure they're right with God. The only way you can be right with God is come to Jesus Christ and accept what he did for you on Calvary as he paid for your sin. Most, if not all of us, are Christians. We're waiting. We're waiting. Help us to wait in the way that you want us to wait. Bless this invitation. Again, Father, use it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.